Now may I speak in the name of the holy, living, and undivided Trinity, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. I want to start this morning with a reflection from my experience here in church on Good Friday. And I realize that may seem a little out of place, seeing as we're now into the third Sunday in Easter, but in fact, the gospel lesson, the well-known Road to Emmaus story, situates us back on Easter morning, and thus the events of Friday are still quite fresh in the minds of the two disciples who are walking on the road as they talk with one another. I was working that day, but I was able to be here in church for a bit on Good Friday. And as I knelt and took and placed myself at the foot of the cross, I did my own sort of personal confessional reflection on my life and tried as best I could to commune with Jesus. And as I entered into this prayerful, meditative state, I realized that Jesus is the one person, the one friend, if you will, in my life and in our lives, who knows everything about us and yet does not abandon us. When I began visiting with people back in Vermont in the mid-90s, the first person I was assigned to was a 94-year-old woman named Katrina. And I've probably talked to you about her at some point in the past, because there are so many things about the time I spent with her that were ultimately meaningful to my ministry. And one of those moments is the day that Katrina finally mustered up the courage to tell me what was really on her mind. That she used to worship Jesus as her Lord and Savior, but now just thought of him more as a friend. And she now trusted me enough to tell me that. And with the very little time that I had had in church as an adult, and with no formal theological training, I could do nothing more than listen non-judgmentally, nod my head, and think to myself, well, that sounds faintly heretical. And of course, it wasn't until I got to seminary and took a course on baptismal theology and was assigned a book entitled, I Have Called You Friends, that I realized that Katrina's words were not heretical at all, but were actually from Jesus himself on the last night in the upper room in John's gospel. And that they really reflected the fulfillment of a truer, deeper relationship with Jesus that she was experiencing as she neared death. And so it was with that view and understanding of Jesus as a friend who already knows everything about me that I came to church on Good Friday. I'm also reminded of that line from one of the opening prayers in the prayer book, and from you no secrets are hid. What a gift to have someone, one person in our lives, who can know everything about us and yet still not abandon us. Because he didn't run away, you know. He didn't throw up his hands and say, man, you people are messed up. I'm out of here. He didn't do any of those things. Instead, he knows us. He loves us, and he was faithful to the point of death, even death on a cross for us. And as I was sitting there thinking about how amazing that is, and thinking about having to preach today, I could discern the Spirit's voice, or my voice of inner wisdom, however you might name it, saying, just tell them that. So that's what I'm doing. Anytime you need that comfort, that solace, that friend, that person who is there for you, no matter who you are or what you've done, you can find that person in the form of Jesus, in and through your relationship with him. And so with that understanding of Jesus as our friend, our companion who comes alongside of us in our darkest hour. Now let's transition to him coming alongside the disciples on the road to Emmaus on Easter morning. There's so much in this story. We read it every year, and every year something new jumps out at me. So I'm going to take a minute to do what we do when we read scripture here together and share the word or phrase that jumped out at me when I read it this time. This year it was the line, "Moreover, some women of our group astounded us." The word "astounded" jumped out at me because in the passage immediately preceding this one, Luke writes that when the women returned to report that they had gone to the tomb, but his body was not there, and they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, the men had supposed it was an idle tale. And I'll never forget my very first year in campus ministry with Canterbury. We had a young woman, Rosie, who showed up on her skateboard 20 minutes early for her first Bible study with us, ready to go. Everyone should get to have one student like that at some point. But she was the one, as we were reading that preceding passage together with this one, who laughed and said, "Oh yes, because it was the women, they supposed it was an idle tale." But this time I also noticed, through the feminist lens that I acquired in seminary, that Luke is acknowledging when he writes, "Moreover, some women of our group," that there were also female followers or disciples of Jesus. And again, later at the end of the passage, when the two disciples returned to Jerusalem, it says they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. So those are my points of personal privilege for this morning, if you will, and I thank you for allowing me those. Now, let's get on the road to Emmaus with Jesus and the disciples. I will confess there are times when I look at the gospel lesson and say, how am I going to connect this to our common life or experience? This, however, is not one of those times, because it became very clear to me as I entered into this story that it also serves as a metaphor for our experience as a congregation at this time of transition with Caro retiring, doesn't it? We are walking on that road to Emmaus as a parish, as we journey together in search of our next priest. Jesus is walking with us, even if our eyes are kept from recognizing him. The journey is every bit as important as the destination. There is plenty to be learned along the way. We are putting together a parish profile, learning to tell our story of who we are, and Christ is guiding that process as well. We will be inviting that person we meet along the way to come in and to break bread with us. And we will apprehend Christ's presence with us in those moments, and our eyes will be opened. And how true it is, similar to my experience on Good Friday, the moment we apprehend or recognize Christ or the Spirit's present with us, that he, she, it, they will just as quickly vanish or flee from our perception, if not our presence. Now, I realize as much as anyone here, I hope, that there is a lot going on in the world. In fact, I've seen doomsday prophecies for this very day, April 23rd. Our 24/7 news cycle is new. It's different than when we were growing up. It's designed to divide us and draw us in. Outrage sells. We're fed just enough of a headline to get us to click on that article, and that's how the algorithms work these days. In fact, I often don't click on it for that very reason. It can all get overwhelming, and we might even decide to ignore it all for our own well-being. There are plenty of concerning issues to choose from. For me, gun violence is at the forefront recently, with horrific racially motivated shootings making headlines. There have been devastating legislative attacks on the teaching of Black history in schools and on LGBTQ persons, especially transgender people. Continuing draconian assaults on reproductive rights, looming environmental collapse, degradation, immigration, border crises, wars, unsettling UFO sightings, and the predictions of the use of nuclear weapons this year. Government leaders entrenched in their own bids and quests for power at the expense and well-being of those they were elected to represent. And I'm not ignoring these issues, and Lord knows church or our faith is not a place where we come to escape from the brokenness and suffering of the world. Again, Good Friday is our lesson there. But I offer these words of comfort and solace this morning about our corporate life together because they are the balm that we need, or at least the balm that I need, to summon the courage to confront the principalities and powers, to do my part to encourage us to find the collective will as a people and a nation to join with new leaders who will confront and address these issues. And Jesus walking on the road with those disciples and with us this morning is the reminder that we are not and have not been left alone, bereft, or without consolation. We don't always recognize it as it's happening. Indeed, today's lesson teaches us that it's usually upon reflection. Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road? That we come to discover Christ was present with us all along. We're just not always aware of it in the moment. When I think about what we might be looking for in our next rector, I think about the way Caro has treaded or navigated that very challenging path between priest and friend. It's not easy, you know, to maintain boundaries and be vulnerable, to be authoritative and yet intimate. It takes a special person, and we have had that. Those are some of the qualities I would presume we're going to be on the lookout for. And we're going to need people to step forward and be part of that search process. If you're feeling moved to do so, please consider applying to be part of the search committee for our next rector. You're going to be asked about that as the date to apply is looming. But we really need you. The diversity of gifts that I have encountered in this hallowed space and out in the community with us is truly amazing. And I understand it involves a sacrifice, but sacrificial work is often the most meaningful as well. In closing, I will leave you with two questions I learned along the way to ask myself when I'm preaching. First, where is the good news in all of this? And second, how does it relate to the Eucharist? The good news, of course, is that the risen one is walking alongside us as a friend, even if we are unaware. And the connection to the Eucharist is that our eyes are opened and we apprehend Christ's presence in the breaking of the bread. Amen and Alleluia.